Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, November 23rd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried apologizes to staff in a letter.
Credit Suisse warns of a massive fourth quarter loss.
HP is the latest tech company to slash jobs.
And investors await a half dozen economic reports ahead of Thanksgiving.
A deadly mass shooting at a Virginia Walmart, plus the suspect accused of gunning down people in a gay Colorado nightclub, has a court appearance today. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Ben Simmons returned to Philadelphia. The Sixers beat the Nets. The Rangers beat the Kings. St. John's beat Syracuse in overtime.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good Wednesday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
And I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are moving a little bit higher this day before Thanksgiving. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 8 points. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures are higher by 15 points. The 10-year Treasury is up 3/32. Yield 3.74%. Yield on the 2-year 4.52%. NYMEX crude is up 0.8% or 62 cents at $81.57 a barrel. Amy?
Nathan, we will have more on the markets in just a minute, but first, the latest on the fallout from FTX. The founder of the collapsed crypto exchange is now apologizing. Let's get the latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Amy and Nathan. In a mea culpa to employees, disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried says he didn't mean for any of this to happen, and he would give anything to go back and do things over again. The crypto exchange collapsed about 2 weeks ago, fueled by a credit squeeze, virtual coin sell-offs, and what Bankman-Fried calls a run on the bank. He also disclosed collateral crashed by $51 billion as FTX spiraled. Bankruptcy proceedings so far paint FTX as a company with poor record keeping and other questionable practices. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. The collapse of FTX shocked much of the financial world, including Cathie Wood, the ARK Investment CEO, says the exchange clearly lacked oversight.
The fact that so many people were completely fooled is quite shocking. And I think he had this aura around him or something that caused people to ask fewer questions than might otherwise have been the case.
Cathie Wood made the comments in an interview with Carol Masser and Tim Stenovek on Bloomberg Business Week. You can watch the show live on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 5 Eastern. Catch more of that conversation with Cathie Wood coming up shortly here on Bloomberg Daybreak.
And Nathan, another major story we are following comes from overseas. Credit Suisse warning of a massive fourth quarter loss. We go to London now and get the latest live with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Amy and Nathan. Credit Suisse clients pulled as much as $88 billion from the bank during the first few weeks of this quarter, underlying the ongoing concerns over the bank's restructuring efforts after years of scandals. The Swiss bank is warning today it's facing a loss of up to $1.6 billion for the final 3 months of this year. And in China, the company is said to be axing at least a third of its investment banking workforce. Credit Suisse shares currently down almost 5%. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. And job cuts are continuing here in the U.S., the latest at HP. The tech company says it will eliminate as many as 6,000 positions over the next 3 years. HP says declining demand for personal computers is cutting into profits.
And Twitter has also been cutting jobs sharply ever since Elon Musk took over that company. Now we're learning it's lost more than half of its in-house lawyers. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story from our 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
This includes several senior attorneys, and it raises some concerns about the depth of legal knowledge that remains with the company. Bloomberg sources say this leaves only head of litigation James Baker and international legal chief Regina Lima in leadership roles in the department. There is enough concern that the sources say there may not be enough legal expertise remaining in-house to know which outside law firms are handling certain matters. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ed, thanks. We're 3 weeks away from the next decision from the Federal Reserve, and central bank officials are speaking on policy. Kansas City Fed President Esther George says significant U.S. household savings could have implications for how high rates need to rise.
While high savings is likely to provide momentum to consumption and require higher interest rates, it's certainly positive that we see that these households are wealthier, less financially constrained, and better insured. But that said, reduced inflation will mean we have to incent saving over consumption.
Kansas City Fed President Esther George made those comments in Santiago during a panel discussion hosted by the Central Bank of Chile.
And Nathan, we have a slew of economic reports this morning, much more than usual ahead of the Thanksgiving Day holiday. We get a preview now from Bloomberg Economics correspondent Michael McKee.
You can't have a holiday until the data dump is done. Seven different indicators will be released on Thanksgiving Eve. They vary in importance. The capital goods section of durable goods orders represents business spending trends, so that will get attention. Wall Street watches jobless claims as sort of a canary in the coal mine for the labor market, and the Fed has made a big deal out of the University of Michigan's inflation expectations numbers. Slightly less important, mortgage applications and new home sales. We know higher interest rates are crippling the housing markets. Of interest will be whether home prices keep falling. The S&P Purchasing Managers Indexes will be overshadowed by next week's ISM report. And barring surprise, the minutes of the Fed's November 2nd meeting won't likely add much to the rate outlook. They're 3 weeks old, and almost everyone on the Fed has offered their views since that meeting. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Mike, thanks. In other news this morning, there were violent protests at Apple's main iPhone-making plant in China. Hundreds of workers at the Foxconn factory battled security personnel after almost a month of tough restrictions intended to quash a COVID outbreak. Video shows hundreds of workers breaking out of dorm rooms at the facility today.
And Disney set for a major box office return in China. Sources say it will release its latest Avatar film on December 16th. And that could be a big lift in a key market for Disney. Previous blockbusters have been denied entry amid deteriorating relations between the U.S. and China.
And futures are on the rise this morning. Amy, S&P futures are up 7 points. Dow futures up 47. NASDAQ futures up 13 points. 10-year treasuries up 1/32nd now. Yield 3.75%. NYMEX crude up 0.6% at $81.42 a barrel. The euro trading at 1.0310 against the dollar. Your latest local headlines and a check of sports up next. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Authorities in Chesapeake, Virginia are investigating a mass shooting at a Walmart last night. Police spokesperson Leo Kaczynski says several people are dead and several others are injured.
It's sad. You know, we're a couple days before the Thanksgiving holiday. I mean, anytime it's a sad, I mean, it's just a bad time all around. You know, it's just for everybody involved, you know, especially the victims. Like, this is horrible.
Police spokesman Kaczynski says it's believed there was only one shooter who is now dead. The FBI is now assisting in the investigation. The alleged shooter facing possible hate crime charges in the fatal shooting of five people at a Colorado Springs gay nightclub has a court appearance today. The suspect's defense team listed Anderson Lee Aldridge as non-binary. The motive in the shooting is still under investigation. New York Governor Kathy Hochul says the state will take larger strides in trying to prevent hate crimes. Hochul signed two pieces of legislation into law that aims to educate people about what is considered hate speech and how that speech could potentially turn into violent acts.
Ordinary New Yorkers are out there seeing the same thing. I want them to be part of our team. I want others to come with that early warning system when they see this or they hear someone in their school saying something. This is what red flag laws are also all about.
One bill that Governor Hochul signed requires people convicted of a hate crime to undergo hate crime prevention training. New York City Mayor Eric Adams unveiled new plans to close more streets in Midtown Manhattan to traffic in December. Adams says one part calls for a section of Fifth Avenue to be closed completely to allow holiday shoppers to walk about. But this cab driver says that means less room for cars.
I think it's horrible to close it because it's just going to create gridlock everywhere else. You know, it's like having a blood clot over here.
Meanwhile, millions of Americans are hitting the roads for the Thanksgiving getaway today. Nearly 55 million Americans are expected to travel at least 50 miles from home. An accountant who handled the tax returns of some Trump Organization executives told a jury that Donald Trump reported a total of about $900 million in operating losses over 2 years. Donald Bender with Mazars was the first defense witness in the tax fraud case. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John's Dash Hour.
Thanks, Amy. The Philadelphia 76ers took Ben Simmons with the first pick of the draft, and he became an all-star for them, but things went sour, especially in the 2021 playoffs. Traded last season to Brooklyn. Last night, his first game back, he got booed, said he expected the boos to be louder. Played fairly well, 11 points, 11 assists, though held scoreless in the fourth quarter as the Sixers beat the Nets 115-106. Philly was without star center Joel Embiid, who had been critical of Simmons at the end of his time there. Rangers continued their trip out west in L.A., down 2-0 second period. They scored three in the second, and the game was 3-3 in the third.
Sends in, far corner, set play, no icing, score! Chris Kreider! They've worked on that for a couple of years. We've seen it from time to time, and it pays off as Zibanejad set the puck in, far side, Kreider against the icing, and beats Peterson. The Rangers go back on top.
ESPN New York had it. Kreider added an empty net. Rangers beat the Kings 5-3. Played tonight in Anaheim. Devils tonight host Toronto. New Jersey win would be a club record 14th win in a row. Like the old days of the Big East, St. John's and Syracuse in Brooklyn, they went overtime. The Red Storm won 76-69. They're now 6-0. Giants lead today for Dallas. Big game tomorrow. Both teams 7-3. Giants haven't won in Dallas since 2016. Bloomberg News reported last summer the Glazer family was considering selling at least a minority stake in their ownership of Manchester United to the Premier League. The family now admits they are, quote, exploring strategic alternatives. Their ownership has been criticized by fans of the team. John Stash Hour, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, thank you. Oh, that's okay, John. Thanks so much. Futures are higher. We're, S&P futures up 6, Dow futures up 42, NASDAQ futures up 6. 10-year Treasury unchanged, the yield at 3.75%. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are holding steady as investors await the latest Fed minutes and clues on the policy path. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points. Dow futures up 34. NASDAQ futures are higher by 2 points. Little change. 10-year Treasuries down 1/32. Yield 3.75%. Yield on the 2-year 4.53%. NYMEX crude up 0.6% or 45 cents. $81.39 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% at $17.50.90 an ounce. The euro 1.0304 against the dollar. That's the Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Multiple people have been killed and injured in a shooting last night at a Walmart store in Chesapeake, Virginia. Police say the suspected lone gunman is dead. Ukrainian authorities say an overnight rocket attack has struck a hospital maternity ward in southern Ukraine, killing a newborn baby. The baby's mother and a doctor were pulled alive from the rubble. In the NBA, the Nets lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won. At the World Cup, 4 games are on the slate today, including Morocco and Croatia, who are playing right now. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're now going to bring you an interview with ARK Investment CEO Cathie Wood. She's reiterating her faith in crypto assets in the wake of FTX's collapse and offering support for Elon Musk's Twitter strategy. She talked about those topics and more in an interview with Carol Masser and Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Business Week. Let's listen in.
I got to talk to you about the crypto space. You, you know, it's a world you know really well. We think about the FTX collapse, the bankruptcy proceedings today, the coming undone of Sam Bankman-Fried. You know, you have been buying into some of the different names in the crypto space, Coinbase, Grayscale, Bitcoin Trust. Why should investors trust crypto? Why do you trust crypto at this point?
Yes, if you look at the blockchains, let's use the Bitcoin blockchain and Ethereum, what you'll find is they have the infrastructure, the technology has not skipped a beat throughout this entire crisis. In fact, the hash rate, Bitcoin's hash rate is at an all-time high, and that is a real indication of the security of the network. On Ethereum, we're seeing the total value staked at $24 billion. That is an all-time high. So we think the infrastructure is working beautifully. As far as Coinbase, this is an onshore regulated company and wanting to help shape regulations. Brian Armstrong, the CEO, and Alicia, CFO, have been leaning in into what's going on right now and saying, okay, regulators, we need more clarity in order to protect investors. Those who wanted to get involved with certain types of crypto were forced offshore, and look at what's happened. So I think that Coinbase is going to come out here looking very, very strong. It just lost a very big competitor in FTX.
Well, what is the market missing, though? Because, you know, that could be one narrative, Kathy, but at the same time, we haven't exactly seen shares of Coinbase rally since FTX's collapse. Do you think you that represents potentially broader concern about just people's interest in crypto following FTX's collapse?
No, I think it's more fear. I think many people say we don't know what we don't know. So what we do is we step back, put a little perspective into the situation here. And what do we have? Many people are saying, well, okay, is this another Lehman? Could this be, could we see the domino effect here? I've just given you one reason why. The banking system back in 08, 09, trillions and trillions of dollars, and it was the global banking system. Right now, we have, it seems, from FTX, $5 to $10 billion in creditors as FTX has filed bankruptcy, they will be making claims. If you look at Lehman, that was $1.2 trillion in claims. So again, just trying to put perspective, this is fraud. This is Madoff. Madoff was $64 billion in claims. Again, FTX, $5 to $10 billion.
I want to switch gears if I can, and I was thinking about Twitter and Tesla. How do you make sense of Elon Musk, someone you know, you've talked to, you've been an investor in Tesla for a long time? Are you comfortable with his actions around Twitter of firing people, hiring them back, the verified check? Do you feel comfortable with this name? And I should put out that, right, you own private shares of Twitter and have talked about wanting to own more.
Yes, we do. We owned Twitter for quite a while, and we sold it into the rumors that Elon was going to buy it because we knew there would be a lot of controversy around that. So it moved into the 60s. I think it got to 70, and we sold there and have been watching from the sidelines. But if you look at that model longer run, it has not delivered on the promise. And, I think opening up the algorithms, which we think he will do, and taking away the kind of human-driven censorship and allowing the transparency of the algorithms that they do put out there, allowing people to question them, I think is going to be very healthy. If you look at the daily average users, I think the various metrics that you can count daily, they have been going up dramatically. So, I know a lot of people who basically decided to quit Twitter because they didn't like the kind of censorship and so forth that was going on. So I actually like what he's doing.
And that was Kathy Wood with ARK Investments speaking with Bloomberg Business Week. Catch the program weekday afternoons on Bloomberg Radio and stream the video feed live on YouTube and Bloomberg Quick Take from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 5 points. Dow futures up 37. NASDAQ futures up 3 points. 10-year Treasury unchanged. The yield at 3.75%. Much more still to come on this Wednesday morning edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. We'll check the markets and bring you the latest news in business, economics, and finance. Stay with us. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny today, going up to 55 degrees, down to 35 with clear skies tonight. And for Thanksgiving Day, mostly sunny, going up to 50 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good Wednesday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. We're about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with the fallout from the collapse of FTX. The founder of the crypto exchange is now issuing an apology. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with the latest. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Amy. In a letter to employees, Sam Bankman-Fried expressed regret for his oversight failure, adding he wishes the company had done many, many things differently. The disgraced FTX founder described a perfect storm of credit squeezes, virtual coin sell-offs, and a run on the bank that brought the crypto exchange down 2 weeks ago. Bankman-Fried also disclosing the company's collateral spiraled to $9 billion from $16 billion. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. And another major story we are following from overseas, Credit Suisse warning of a massive fourth quarter loss. The Swiss bank says it will face a loss exceeding $1.5 billion for the three final months of the year.
Also overseas, Amy, there were violent protests at Apple's main iPhone-making plant in China. Hundreds of workers at the Foxconn factory battled security personnel after almost a month of tough restrictions intended to quash a COVID outbreak.
And Nathan, back here in the U.S., Twitter turmoil continues. Bloomberg sources say after recent job cuts, there may not be enough in-house legal expertise at Twitter to know which outside law firms are handling certain matters. Even so, Elon Musk still has his fair share of supporters, including ARK Investment CEO Kathy Wood.
Various metrics that you can count daily, they have been going up dramatically. So I know a lot of people who decided to quit Twitter because they didn't like the censorship and so forth that was going on. So I actually like what he's doing.
Kathy Wood with ARK Investment made the comments to Bloomberg Business Week, which you can catch weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and streaming live on YouTube.
Turning to the economy, we're 3 weeks away from the next Fed decision. Kansas City Fed President Esther George says one thing that could push the central bank to keep raising rates is high household savings in the U.S.
Certainly positive that we see that these households are wealthier, less financially constrained. But that said, reduced inflation will mean we have to incent saving over consumption.
Kansas City Fed President Esther George made those comments in Santiago during a panel discussion hosted by the Central Bank of Chile. S&P futures right now up 4 points. Dow futures up 32. NASDAQ futures higher by 8 points. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32. The yield 3.75%. Yield on the 2-year 4.52%. NYMEX crude's down 0.9% now at $80.20 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Nathan. 5:33 on Wall Street now. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. Virginia police said multiple people are dead and others are wounded after a shooting at Walmart last night. Chesapeake police spokesman Leo Kaczynski says authorities believe there was one shooter who is dead. Kaczynski was asked whether the shooter was killed by law enforcement.
I don't believe so, but I can't say that for sure. So that's still being part of the investigation. It's all because it all happened very, very quickly, very dynamic. A lot of people involved, a lot of officers.
The gunman is believed to be an employee or former employee. The Virginia shooting comes 3 days after a person opened fire at a gay nightclub in Colorado, killing 5 and wounding 17. The suspect in the deadly attack at Club Q in Colorado Springs is set to face a judge today. A family friend says 22-year-old Anderson Lee Aldrich was bullied as a teen. New York Governor Kathy Hochul signed 2 pieces of legislation into law in trying to prevent hate crimes from taking place. Governor Hochul says it aims to educate people about what is considered hate speech and how that speech could potentially turn into violent acts.
We can't ignore that there's been a loss of civility and respect of individuals, and that has been the collateral damage.
One measure will require people who were convicted of a hate crime to take a training course on hate crime prevention. The Supreme Court has cleared the way for a House committee to get Donald Trump's tax returns. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
This covers 6 years of returns as it goes to the House Ways and Means Committee. High Court issuing no explanation or any public dissent. So now the IRS is free to provide the returns and could do so immediately. The committee will want to act expeditiously because the Republican majority, in particular Kevin McCarthy, has said that he will kill any such investigations. The committee, in its arguments, said it needed the returns to consider potential legislation and oversight on presidential compliance. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
Acquired last season by Brooklyn, but he didn't play until this season. He wasn't playing well, nothing like what he did most of his time in Philadelphia, and he was all-star until he regressed at the end of his time there. Lately, encouraging signs for Nets fans. Simmons just had a 22-point game, and last night he made his return to Philly in a Sixers 115-106 victory.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm in a good place, you know, for me to come in here and just play basketball. I'm happy. I'm doing what I love. So, you know, to be out there and have that experience was amazing. Obviously, it wasn't the result we wanted. It's frustrating to lose a game like that. But, you know, I think it's a good step forward.
Nets play tonight in Toronto. The Rangers play in Anaheim. They won last night in L.A. They beat the Kings 5-3, 2 third-period goals for Chris Kreider. At Barclays, overtime in the final of the Empire Classic, and St. John's beat Syracuse 76-69. Andre Curbelo, 23 points for the Red Storm, who's now 6-0. As the Jets try to decide whether to keep Zach Wilson as their starting quarterback, the previous heralded young Jets QB, Sam Darnold, is going to start Sunday for Carolina. At the World Cup, they're underway. Croatia, who lost in the Cup final 4 years ago, is taking on Morocco. Scoreless in the first half. There may not be a bigger World Cup upset than the one yesterday. Saudi Arabia had a FIFA ranking of 51. Argentina was ranked third, and Saudi Arabia won. Meanwhile, Cristiano Ronaldo confirmed he is leaving Manchester United, and the team appears to be for sale. Bloomberg News had reported back in August the Glazer family would sell at least a minority stake. They now admit they are open to sell. John Stashnell with Bloomberg Sports. Amy.
All right. Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. Here with that is Bloomberg's Denise Pellegrini.
New York is banning new crypto mining temporarily, making it the first state to do so. And Governor Hochul has signed a bill triggering a new 2-year moratorium on new permits for crypto mining companies powered by fossil fuels and using proof of work authentication with millions of computers validating transaction data. Guess where the world's most expensive shopping area is for businesses? Cushman & Wakefield says Upper Fifth Avenue between 49th and 60th Street has some of the highest storefront rents in the nation, even higher than before the pandemic, and could be a busy day for legal cannabis businesses in New Jersey and in Connecticut and New York, too, because today is Green Wednesday. It's a promotional day for the legal weed industry, encouraging people to buy their products to enjoy over the Thanksgiving holiday. Multiple cannabis businesses are offering discounts, including Garden State Dispensary, Ruse Dispensary, Terrace End, and Curaleaf. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Denise Pellegrini.
Thank you, Denise. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potusk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about Disney's Avatar sequel getting government approval to appear in theaters in China.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KFAB in Omaha. Egg prices soar more than 10% in October, topping the food inflation list.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WFLA in Orlando, I'm reporting that more and more Americans are tapping into their 401ks for emergencies.
I'm Kimberly Adams, and on WBZ in Boston, I'll be reporting on the rising cost of that Thanksgiving turkey.
I'm Denise Pellegrini, and on WWJ in Detroit, I'm reporting on how analysts say the online used car company Carvana could be stuck in reverse.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg analysts and journalists are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Building anything in the U.S. requires navigating a rainforest of red tape. Green energy projects are no exception. Wind, hydropower, geothermal, solar, nuclear, however desirable such endeavors may be, they're no match for the sheer obstructive power of state and federal rulebooks. Permitting for these projects takes nearly 3 years on average, while the preparation time for environmental impact statements has risen more than 50% since 2000. Without change, this system could well thwart the U.S.'s climate goals. Across federal agencies, new efforts are needed to maximize exemptions, speed reviews, and otherwise prioritize clean energy projects. And lawmakers on both sides of the aisle should prioritize permitting reform. Elected officials are quick to call climate change an existential threat. They should show a little more urgency. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures 4 points higher, Dow futures up 27, NASDAQ futures up 4 points. Much more still to come on this Wednesday morning edition of Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are holding steady as investors await the release of the minutes from the Federal Reserve's latest policy meeting for insight on the path of rate hikes. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 3 points. Dow futures up 21. NASDAQ futures up 4 points. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd. The yield 3.75%. Yield on the 2-year 4.52%. NYMEX crude is now down 1.2%, down 93 cents at $80.01 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.2%, down $3.20 at $17.51.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0306 against the dollar. British pound 1.1918. The yen 141.45. Bitcoin's higher by 2.6% at $16,550. Besides the FOMC minutes, we get a pre-Thanksgiving cornucopia of economic data today. MBA mortgage applications at 7 Wall Street time, durable goods orders at 8:30, initial jobless claims then as well. S&P Global Manufacturing at 9:45, University of Michigan Sentiment Index comes out at 10. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. Police say 6 people have been killed after a shooter opened fire at a Walmart in Chesapeake, Virginia last night. The assailant is also dead. The shooting came 3 days after a person opened fire at a gay nightclub in Colorado late Saturday, killing 5 people and wounding 17. One person is dead and 14 others are injured in bomb attacks in Jerusalem. The explosions hit 2 bus stops. In the NBA, the Nets lost. In the NHL, the Rangers won. At the World Cup, 4 games are on the slate today, including Morocco and Croatia, who are playing right now. The game is scoreless. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Black Friday is right around the corner, but inflation is likely going to have an impact. We get a holiday sales preview with Bloomberg Intelligence Senior U.S. Retail Analyst Poonam Goyal. Poonam, thank you for taking the time with us. Just, it's a pleasure. What does holiday spending look like this year?
It's not going to be as great as it has been in the past, but it's still expected to be up 4-8% for the season, with in-store shopping being the outlier, winning the season versus online compared to prior years.
Is that a surprise? What does online holiday shopping look like this year?
You know, online holiday shopping is still going to be up, but it's going to be up in the single digits. And usually in the past, online has always been up double digits, so it's a slowdown. Part of the reason for the slowdown is people are going back to stores, right, come after the pandemic, and there was such a surge in the past few years that growth rates are just normalizing to then accelerate again next year. So we think it's a temporary reset in 2022 to then reaccelerate again in 2023.
So will shoppers be able to find good deals, good sales?
Yeah, absolutely. All year, retailers have been piling inventory as stuff ordered last year through the pandemic when it wasn't coming because of port congestion has all kind of come into play this year. So they have too much inventory on hand. And when that happens, you start to discount more. So discounts are going to be paramount this holiday season. We will see more discounting than we have in the last few years for sure, which is going to entice people to shop because not only are, you know, discounts get people to shop, but it's also when they're seeking value amid inflation that we've seen year to date.
What will those discounts then mean for the stores or the businesses? Who are the winners and losers this holiday season?
You know, discounts will pressure margins for sure. They have been so far this year. But the promotions that we're about to see over the coming five-day weekend, Thanksgiving to Cyber Monday, those are kind of built in, right? When you see, for example, video games drop from $60 to $30, only over Black Friday through Cyber Monday. That's a 50% discount, but that's built into their holiday outlook. I think the question is going to be, after the five-day holiday, did retailers have a good sell-through? And if they did, we could see discounts be in line with what their expectations were, though if sales did not materialize and the discounts become more aggressive than planned, which is possible, that's always not good for margin, and they need to clear inventory. They need to enter 2023 fresh, so they are going to aggressively discount to make sure that they can do that.
Poonam, is there anything you are watching for specifically in the next few weeks?
I think inventory levels, really. You know, as we walk the stores, as we look online, we're going to see the level of discounting and see how aggressive it is. I can tell you prior to the pandemic, you know, when I would walk into stores and if I saw a 90% off sales rack at one of the stores, that indicates that there's a problem. There's way too much inventory and they're trying to just clear merchandise in a frenzy. We don't want to see that again, right? That just means that there's more damage to margin. So we'll be watching closely at the level of discounting and promotions and lines and baskets of shoppers in stores this weekend to kind of see who's really taking share. You know, in the past, we've seen green Airy bags floating around the malls, and that was a good signal for American Eagle, Lululemon, et cetera. So we'll be watching for things like that.
All right, Poonam, thank you so much. Bloomberg Intelligence Senior U.S. Retail Analyst Poonam Goyal. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thank you. It's coming up to 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for our Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Joan Doniger.
Twitter has lost more than half its in-house lawyers. That's leading to worries now about whether enough legal expertise remains with the company. A Palantir Technologies stockholder is suing that company and co-founder Peter Thiel, charging company officers and directors raked in nearly $100 million in insider stock sales while concealing slipping quarterly growth. And a win for NASCAR at the Ohio Supreme Court. That court ruled the Ohio Department of Taxation improperly hit the car racing giant with more than a $500,000 business privilege tax bill.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need on one legal research platform. Guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And another legal story we're watching, veteran prosecutor Jack Smith's been named special counsel in two of the most significant Justice Department investigations in years, concerning former President Donald Trump. They are the criminal investigation into efforts to overturn the 2020 election and the retention of classified documents at Trump's Florida estate, Mar-a-Lago. Smith will have to move quickly to ensure his work concludes before the home stretch of the 2024 presidential election, given that the Justice Department's historic interest in avoiding action that could be seen as interfering in the outcome of a race. For more, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks with former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz, a partner at McCarter and English.
Would Garland have appointed a special counsel if charges were not under consideration already?
Well, that's a great question, and it does suggest that charges are being seriously considered. The mere fact that Merrick Garland has taken this extraordinary step and appointed a special prosecutor suggests that he has already come to the conclusion that there is a possibility that charges will be brought here. I don't think that he would have taken this step unless the evidence had at least passed a threshold where there was a possibility that charges could be brought. You don't typically bring a special prosecutor simply to wind down an investigation. He obviously believes that there is credible evidence here that needs to be investigated, and that's why he named Jack Smith as the special prosecutor.
Is Smith up against the clock here because of the upcoming elections?
They are a bit under the gun because they have to try to complete this investigation in a timely fashion so that it will not interfere with the upcoming election. I think as a realistic matter, if charges are to be brought against President Trump, it will likely have to be done sometime in the spring of 2023 because they do not want to bring charges and then have a trial pending while an election is coming up. So if they're going to bring charges and actually try a case before the 2024 election, there's not much time left. These charges will likely have to be brought by the spring of 2023. Department of Justice regulations say that you cannot bring charges within 60 or 90 days ahead of an election. But here we're really talking about a situation where if charges are brought, the right thing to do is to allow enough time to have that trial actually take place before the election. And bear in mind, this is not going to be an ordinary trial, and it may drag out longer than most trials would. Typically in the federal system, if somebody is indicted for a federal crime, you can expect to go to trial within about a year. But if there were to be an indictment of a former president, it would certainly raise some new questions of law, some novel issues that would likely be litigated and probably drag the case out even longer. So while the special prosecutor is getting on board here, and while he does have the benefit of having Department of Justice investigators and prosecutors who have been working on this case who will continue to work under his supervision, he has a steep mountain to climb here to try to learn exactly what's been going on and make some very big decisions in the near term.
That's former federal prosecutor Robert Mintz speaking with Bloomberg's June Grosso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. S&P futures, little change now, up 3 points. Dow futures up 19. NASDAQ futures are little change to the upside. 10-year treasuries up 1/32nd, yield 3.75%. Yield on the 2-year, 4.52%. NYMEX crude's moving lower, down 1.5% or $1.23 at $79.70 a barrel, so below the 80 handle. COMEX gold's down 0.2% or $2.80 lower at $17.52 even an ounce. And the euro right now trading at 1.0308 against the dollar. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.